Hello there. Welcome to Inspired a Galaxy.
In this segment of the ORP, we discuss the artists and stories that inspired us and hope that they inspire you.
And now, we present the episode. All right. We usually cover Star Wars and Knights of the Old Republic on this podcast. Brian and I dreamed up what KOTOR would be like in a movie as like a trilogy for many, many episodes. So today, we are discussing another beloved video game series that's getting a movie adaptation, and that's The Legend of Zelda. And today we are once again joined by Al, our guest from the Hidden Fortress episode, and our The Last of Us episodes. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thank you so much for coming back on, Al. Yeah, it seemed to make sense. You know, we talked The Last of Us and kind of that adaptation, so we're talking another video game adaptation here today with the news breaking for, Nintendo and Sony teaming up to make a Legend of Zelda movie. So we actually first discovered this. You'd posted it onto a Discord site that we saw, and that got the wheels turning a little bit about what a Legend of Zelda adaptation might be, and we wanted to get together and chat about it a little bit today.
Yeah, I'm tentative on this one.
Yeah.
Tentative. Okay. That's very fair. That's very fair. Yeah, so just to kind of run through a little bit of the news, and then I'll let you kind of hop in here, Cassia. It's basically they've just announced that Nintendo and Sony are teaming up to make a live-action Legend of Zelda movie. Shigeru Miyamoto, who's one of the creators of the Zelda franchise and stories, is going to be on to produce it. I've seen a couple of articles where he's stated that he's been, you know, working on and dreaming up a movie now for a long time. I guess, and Abby Arad, I guess, is going to be producing as well. I'm not familiar with that name. And then Wes Ball, set to direct, at least as of right now. But yeah, the news kind of came, A, out of nowhere, but B, it kind of seemed to make sense, because it seems like a Legend of Zelda movie or TV show is something that people have been talking about happening or potentially happening for a long time. Were you, like, in on this news when it broke, Cassia?
I remember when I was in, I think, like, high school, like, a really good fan-made trailer came out for, like, a live-action Legend of Zelda, something, you know, whether it was a TV show or a movie. Mm-hmm. And everyone, like, it seemed like people were talking about it, you know, at school, and people thought it was well made, and then it was, I think it was like fan created, but they're like, oh, they'll never make a live action adaptation, you know, because they don't want to give, you know, like Link or Zelda voices, you know, and maybe they just didn't think there was a market for it. And I think nowadays, like, a lot of companies are trying to not just make video games, they're trying to get into TV shows, like do tie-in books, do movies, and I think they're kind of using Star Wars and the MCU kind of as a guide. And I think after the Mario movie was successful, I think they're like, now is the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And the Mario movie was pretty successful. It made a little over $1 billion, which is, by all accounts, a pretty good showing there for Nintendo. That was an animated film, so a lot of kind of the early speculation I'd seen was that, Illumination was going to play a part in this Legend of Zelda thing, making it an animated film, but no, as it turns out, it's going to be a live action film, which is very, very different. Al, do you have any thoughts about the Mario movie, or kind of what were your initial impressions? You said a little cautious here on the story. So what do you think? Yes. Were you like surprised when you heard this news, or what did you think about it, or what did you
think?
Like I said about Mario.
Surprised. So. Yeah, like I'm not too surprised that they want to do this. It makes sense. It seemed like Mario did so well. Of course they want to have more money. They've kind of breached into that, into, what is it, the amusement park world as well. I guess that
Universal
was last
Studios,
year or this year. Mm-hmm. They have Nintendo World or Super Nintendo World. I'm not sure what it's called. I haven't been to it. But, so they're kind of breaching into a bunch of these other things that they haven't done before. And so it was really just a matter of time after Mario was so successful that, hey, they could do a Legend of Zelda movie. And the fact that they're doing live action makes a lot of sense because animated films take a lot of money and a lot of time. Like you guys have had on Schroeder a couple times to discuss the Spider-Verse movies, and those movies take a really long time. I'm sure that with the Mario movie took them quite a bit to kind of get that out. This one should be a lot faster for them to actually, once they have a script, to shoot it, to, you know, throw in some animation and then kind of finish it up. Like, I think they're going to churn these out a lot faster nowadays.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully it's and it's kind of coming on the heels. I guess there was a leak. There was going to be kind of a Netflix series, A Legend of Zelda, and I guess that eventually got canceled. I don't know how far along that was, if it was, kind of initial talks or anything like that. But yeah, going to be a live-action movie, apparently. At least that's kind of what the signs are indicating right now. And yeah, I think there's some hope there, as far as a good story goes. The Legend of Zelda, the Land of Hyrule, is a world that is rich with characters and lore and all that stuff. There's been, I think, 19 installments into the video game. We're going to kind of go through that here in a second. But Cassie, when you heard the news, is this something you're excited about? Are you excited about Legend of Zelda being turned into a film? Are you happy with the video games? Or
I didn't really have a deep connection with the games. I just didn't really grow up with a Nintendo 64. We had a GameCube, but I think it was The Legend of the Wind Waker. It's a fun game, but it has an interesting art design, I think, like, because the graphic fidelity of the GameCube was kind of limited. And it was kind of like pre-Wii times, and I think that's when you kind of saw like a resurgence of like the Legend of Zelda brand. But I'm excited for this because I feel like people I talk to, they're always excited about the games, like whether they're Nintendo fans, like Nintendo puts out pretty good products, whether it is Pokemon or Legend of Zelda or Mario games, and even without movies and everything, like I see a lot of merch out in the wild, of the shield that Link has, and like the Triforce was everywhere, like even growing up, and it's still out in the wild now. I am excited that Nintendo is going to be co-producing it with Sony. I think Sony, as a studio, they make some good films, and then some more questionable films, was it Morbius or something?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm wild about the person they have writing the thing. But I am excited that the Maze Runner director, Wes Ball, is going to be handling it. Because, you know, kind of like after Twilight came out, a lot of young adult like fiction was written. And I think like the Hunger Games kind of took the crown, you know, and it inspired a lot of knockoffs. Or maybe not knockoffs, but like, you know, kind of like a lot of dystopian fiction, you know? And I think that the Maze Runner trilogy knew what it was. It didn't go overboard. And I think it's the best made, you know, dystopian trilogy after Hunger Games, which I guess wasn't really a trilogy. It was a quadrilogy or whatever, but yeah.
That's right. Well,
lots of thoughts.
Well, it was a trilogy of books, I guess. That's going to be a show for a different day. Maybe we'll have to talk Hunger Games on a future Inspired a Galaxy for sure. So so that's good. I'm glad that you're kind of excited about that. Al, we're gonna come back to you, and I want to get into kind of your history with Hyrule here itself. But let's run through a little bit of you know, kind of the video game series itself. So 1986, 1987 in Japan, and then 87 in the United States. The Legend of Zelda comes out on the NES. It was created by Shigeru Miyamoto and Takashi Tezuka. And the first installment of the Zelda franchise follows the adventures of Link, saving Hyrule's beloved Princess Zelda from the clutches of evil Ganon, who has attacked and claimed an ancient relic of Hyrule, the Triforce of Power. Zelda, Princess Zelda, though, is crafty and splits the Triforce of Wisdom up into 8 parts, and it's up to Link, aka us, the player, to find those 8 pieces and defeat Ganon, restoring peace and safety to Hyrule. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this. The following year, 87-88, Zelda 2: The Adventures of Link comes out on the NES. Link is older now, 16, and it's time to rescue Princess Zelda again, who's been locked away in a magically sealed part of the castle. But it's a different Zelda this time, and heads up everyone out there, the timeline of Hyrule is going to get real complicated, or real fast, going forward. We're looking for the Triforce of Courage this time, and Ganon's minions are trying to kill us, because apparently sprinkling our blood on the ashes of Ganon will bring him back to life. That is pretty dark. We're victorious, though, getting our third Triforce. We're able to wake the new Zelda and fight ourselves, and we also fight ourselves at the end of the game, the Dark Link. Then we have Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, that comes out on the Super Nintendo in 91-92, Link's Awakening on the Game Boy in 93, but then we'd have to wait until 1998 for the next installment, so 5 years, and that is Ocarina of Time on the Nintendo 64. This is one of the most beloved games of all time. Link is in the third dimension now. Story beats kind of still are similar, right? We're still rescuing Zelda from Ganon, trying to secure these Triforces. At the end of the story, spoiler, Zelda uses this Ocarina of Time to send Link back to his childhood. And then you go on and on and on. There's a bunch of entries here. Majora's Mask, The Four Swords, Twilight Princess, Skyward Sword. And then we finally get up to kind of the newer iterations of The Legend of Zelda stories, and that was 2017's Breath of the Wild, which came out on the Switch. This is a more open-world Legend of Zelda game. This time we are at the end of the timeline. We can kind of run through the timeline a little bit here, too, if we want, when we get into our introductions to the game. This is kind of a future Hyrule, and it's descended into a more medieval society. And on her 17th birthday, Princess Zelda's, Ganon returns, takes control of the 4 beasts that were once the protectors of Hyrule, and Hyrule falls into darkness. Link, who was injured trying to protect the princess, was healed and placed in a cave. The Master Sword was hidden, and Princess Zelda uses her magic to seal herself within the castle until this age of calamity and Calamity Ganon has ended. And then we have this year's Tears of the Kingdom, which is kind of a sequel to that, kind of piggybacking off of that story a little bit. It's set a couple years in the future, but I have not played that one, so I'm not super familiar with that story yet. Yeah, there's 19 of these games, and the timeline starts getting a little convoluted. But Al, let's start with you. I guess Cassie already spilled the beans on how she got introduced to Legend of Zelda. How did you get introduced to The Legend of Zelda?
You know, that's a great question. I don't fully know how I got introduced. I think it was really just through Super Smash Brothers on the N64, and Link was one of the characters on there. So I didn't really get into playing some of the Zelda games. I played Minish Cap on the Game Boy Advance. And, you know, that one was a little bit easier than some of the other games. And, you know, I've gone through and I've played several more of them since that time frame. I just went through and did like a little checker to like see, okay, how many of these have I actually played? And I think I've played a little bit over half, maybe 60, 65% of them, I would say.
Okay. All right. So you're pretty familiar with the world of Hyrule then, of collecting Triforces and that. Cassia, you said that your first one was Skyward Sword. Is that what you said? Or no, you said the Wind Waker. The Wind Waker.
The Wind Waker was the first one we had in our home, you know. But I was always so jealous of my friends who had Nintendo 64s at home. You know, I really did love playing the Ocarina of Time. I was never really good at video games. Like, I think the best way to like make sure your kids don't like video games is just to have, you know, a video game device at your house, because or else all they're just want to do is just play it at their friend's house and always dream of getting one, you know.
but so
is the Wind Waker, but it has a story. Well, I guess I should say the series going back, like you said it had like 19 games. Like, That's a pretty good lineage, and it's kind of been there since like around the beginning of like when video games were starting to be, you know, in people's homes. And you have Link. Link is, you know, not Zelda. That's a mistake people make, you know. And usually he helps save Princess Zelda. And Zelda, it's an interesting iconography. Like, do you think it kind of evokes, like, Robin Hood?
I think his outfit definitely evokes Robin Hood, especially, you know, kind of set the tone there with the first game and carrying all the way through. It's, you know, kind of elven and green, and, you know, has kind of the pointy hat. So when you think back of like, you know, the classic imagery of Robin Hood, you know, Link definitely kind of fits that personification there, I think.
Yeah. So it has an interesting, you know, story and style, and I think sometimes when your formula is simple, you can always tweak it and try new things. Because, like, the games have, you know, like, evolved. And I think, like, was it Majora's Mask? Like, it was kind of more like a horror story a little bit, you know? And
It definitely starts off a little bit more horror. And it kind of gets back to its like fantasy roots after that. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
As the resident old person here on the podcast, my introduction to The Legend of Zelda was back in that 1987 Legend of Zelda. It wasn't a game that I had. I'd rented it a few times from the library. I was also very jealous of people that had it because it was on a sweet gold cartridge. But I never actually finished the game until I was into adulthood, because that was a game that you really had to kind of spend some time with and get like get your Nintendo Power and, you know, plot out the maps and stuff. And I could never really seem to get that accomplished with just a rental there. So that was kind of my first introduction to Legend of Zelda, was that first game. And then honestly, other than, you know, kind of watching, you know, friends play it and, you know, seeing these games kind of at friends' houses off and on, I didn't really play another one until Breath of the Wild just came out on the Switch. And that was a game I poured a ton of time into. I really, really loved. It definitely has some KOTOR vibes as Link, you know, awakens in this cave, and he's an amnesiac Link, and part of the game is trying to restore your memory and to go save Princess Zelda and all that stuff. So very, KOTOR. Very, very KOTOR-esque for sure. Yeah. So that was kind of my introduction to it. So yeah, let's get into a little bit of this story speculation now, Al. We've got three here kind of on our sheet that we put down on our notes here, you know, kind of that original, that very first story, or the Ocarina of Time, which is, you know, probably what most people would consider, you know, I don't know if the best, but definitely their favorite Legend of Zelda game. It's constantly, you know, rated in like the top 10 games of all time. I think maybe kind of that timeline, something newer like this Breath of the Wild thing that we've got right now. What do you think? Any of those three or something else completely? What do you think, Al?
That's a great question. So I might come under fire for this, but I think that the first game and Breath of the Wild kind of don't really have stories to them. I know that there's like a loose story, but it really feels like it's kept very vague and very loose so that you will just do the maximum amount of exploration. And so I don't think that basing it on the original Zelda game or Breath of the Wild would be a very good idea. I do think that, you know, they could definitely take Ocarina of Time, maybe just some elements from it, maybe not the entire thing, and kind of build a story around that one. I kind of think that they might actually just go a fourth route and just build their own story. A lot of the games, they kind of focus on, as Cassia was saying, a lot of the same things. Here's Link. He needs to rescue Princess Zelda from Ganon or Ganondorf, kind of depending on which version he is, and kind of do that little rescue mission. I think they'll keep the core of that, but I think they're going to do something else. Now, they do often have like a lot of elements of like time travel or... Like, even they had, like, the story of the Ages and Seasons games on the Game Boy. So there's, like, different types of time travel or dark world, light world types of things. I think that they'll probably do something with that aspect. Maybe try to have some time travel elements. I think that Ocarina of Time is kind of works really well that way, where it's like, oh, here's 10 or so years in the future if you don't save... Right. If you don't save it. And so now he has to kind of do this back and forth. I think that there's a chance that we do something like that. I don't want him to be like kind of clumsy with like his time travel at the beginning, but I do think that by the end, there will probably be some aspect where he is, you know, jumping back and forth between the two timelines effortlessly throughout it. You know, he'll have gained some kind of control over that device.
Yeah, definitely. You bring up a good point here, and now is probably a good time to talk about it, and then Cassio will see where you think the story kind of might go, you know, with our speculation here. I'd mentioned kind of this weird sort of chronology of Zelda and how it keeps changing and things like that, and there'd always been kind of like this great like fan like confusion and fan speculation and strong opinions about it, but in 2003 Miyamoto confirmed that there was an actual timeline. It was an internal document that laid out how these games fit in order that the game developers and writers and stuff had access to. And in 2011 in Japan and 2013 everywhere else, they released the Hyrule Historia, which is a book, and it basically goes through the official timeline of that, and it was part of a trilogy of books. So you also had The Legend of Zelda Arts and Artifacts and Legend of Zelda Encyclopedia, which gives us a ton of Hyrule goodness. But yeah, basically, It lays out this timeline, and it starts here with Skyward Sword, Minish Cap, Four Swords, and then Ocarina of Time, and then the timeline just completely branches out. So you get a Hero is Defeated timeline, which goes through kind of those original games, ending with the Adventure of Link, and then you get the Hero is Victorious timeline, so you get the Child Era, which is if you go back to Link's childhood at the end of Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess, Four Swords Adventures, or the Adult Era, if you go forward in time, Wind Waker, Phantom Hourglass, and Spirit Tracks, and then it completes kind of the timeline as of right now with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom on the actual official one. So that's kind of how these stories fit together. There's the three kind of branching potential timelines there. So Cassio, what do you think? What kind of time period or what kind of story do you think we're going to see here? Is it going to be new? Is it going to be old? What do you think?
I guess I'm an old-fashioned person, you know, and I'd be like, oh, it'd probably be Ocarina of Time. I mean, it seems to be, like, the one a lot of people are familiar with. It's been remastered, and it's pretty easy to play. But the more I think about it, I was like, maybe they'll base it on Breath of the Wild, you know? But I could see them creating an original story, kind of like how the Mario movie did. I think as long as they kind of keep the formula and, like, where Link, you know, saves and or helps Zelda, you know, I recently rewatched Pirates of the Caribbean, and I was like, oh, you know, like, I think Elizabeth Swann was actually a pretty good character arc, and it's like, if they kind of did a character arc like that for Zelda, where it's like, she kind of didn't really know how to fight in the first one, and then kind of like is better at sword fighting, and then becomes like a pirate king in the third one. Like, I was like, oh, I could get behind that, you know? But I don't know.
Cassia, you haven't played or watched like any playthroughs of Ocarina of Time then?
I didn't play it all the way through. So I think she does become like a warrior at the end though, right? Am I just stupid? Like,
no, in the darker timeline of that, where, you know, time has progressed, she has gone off with the Sheikah people who have kind of taught her some ways. So she becomes this character named Sheik, and she does help out in some ways to help Link.
Yeah.
And so she is like a kind of warrior princess in that regard. So I was just curious if you were kind of basing it around that, or if you had no clue about that character.
It's been a long time since someone summarized, like, Ocarina of Time, the full thing. I didn't play the whole thing. But we'll pretend that I knew that and it was a plan. So,
absolutely. No, I think you you stumbled into greatness there for sure. Yeah, kind of with that entry, Al, I think it's kind of at that point, Princess Zelda has a little bit more agency to her character. She starts to develop kind of like the ability to wield different magics and things like that. And that's kind of something that's going forward, you know, especially into like I said, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom here at these newer games. I do disagree with you, Alan, that Breath of the Wild has a fantastic story. The way that it's laid out, though, is very different than the rest of the games, which are, you know, open to an extent, but they're still pretty linear in the way that you're learning of that story, whereas Breath of the Wild is really more of an open world game, and you have a lot of kind of options on how much of that story you want to have unfold to you. So I think that it kind of has that going for it. The other thing, and I think this is the case, but I believe Breath of the Wild was the first of these video game entries to have voice acting in them, which is something else that's kind of new and unique. And we're going to talk a little bit about this when we get into hopes and fears. But that was something that people were very kind of concerned about when they announced that was going to be the case, that there were going to be voices for, you know, some of these characters, and how that was going to work and what they're going to sound like, and was it going to be good or bad or, you know, indifferent. But I think for myself, story speculation, I think it's probably going to be something probably more akin to Breath of the Wild in terms of the aesthetic of the way that the show looks and the way that the show feels a little bit. If you go back to like the first game, Link in those was supposed to be like a little kid, and I don't think that that's going to be the case. So I mean, it might steal, you know, some of the story elements, but certainly I think kind of the structure of it is going to be different. I think you'll have at least like an older like teenage Link and Zelda within the game, but I think it's probably going to borrow on the aesthetic of Breath of the Wild and then really just be kind of its own kind of story, because if you look at all these, I didn't run through, you know, all 19 of these, but basically in all of these there's some sort of iteration of you know, of Ganon or Ganondorf, or that you have the Triforces there, you have the Master Sword. So all of these have kind of similar building blocks to tell their story, and then it's just kind of a different story around those. So I think it's going to be something new is what I see.
I do have a quick question for you guys. What do you think they're like, who's the audience that they're kind of pushing this one for? Is it going to be PG-13, PG, something else?
Are PG movies still made? Maybe like it's due to inflation, but it seems like most family films are now PG-13.
So the Mario movie was PG.
I'd say most animated films now are PG, a lot of them. Nintendo is very much a family company, so I would not be surprised to see it really, really trying to attain a PG rating,
I'm not opposed to PG, yeah.
That's kind of just where what my head says when you say, oh, Nintendo's making a movie. Okay, well, it's definitely going to be geared at, you know, young kids. Like, it's going to be geared at the people that they want to buy the next Legend of Zelda game, and that's going to be, you know, kind of, you know, kids and they're, you know, like 8, 9, 10 years old and on. And it's going to do the same thing that the Super Mario Brothers movie did, I think, and it's going to appeal to, you know, someone like me that played Super Mario Brothers 3, you know, coming out of elementary school. Plus, it's going to appeal to people who have played, you know, the more modern Mario games, and it's going to basically just get the next set of kids on board with, you know, staying in this world. And I think that's probably what they're going to go for, which is good, because I really like that it doesn't have a big barrier to entry, but it's bad because then people on the internet are going to complain that it's not more edgy, but that's okay, I think.
Who cares about them, you know? But
what do you think, Al? What do you think? Where do you think the ratings going, or what do you think the audience for this would be?
It's really interesting. You know, I obviously they're not going to go for R-rated, but I do think that there's a good reason to believe that they might go PG or PG-13. You know, just the audience is largely, you know, grown up people, you know, as opposed to Mario, which has always kind of stayed very kid friendly. You know, there's a couple Mario games that are kind of different, but I would say that Zelda has kind of been a little bit more difficult, a little bit more mature, we'll say. And so I could see them trying to go for that PG-13, going for, they can kind of push things to be a little bit more frightening or a little bit more intense, we'll say.
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, it will have, I would think, elements of, you know, different magics and things like that, which, you know, could be considered to be a little bit darker, I guess, in a sense here. I was trying to look it up here. Let me see. Yeah, so, for example, the most recent Zelda entry, Tears of the Kingdom, the video game rating on that, at least, was E for everyone. So I think that it's probably going to be, like I said, I would imagine, you know, Nintendo having this a lot of pride in, you know, being family oriented and family friendly. I would be surprised if it goes above a PG, to be quite honest, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm okay either way. I wonder if it is PG-13. I would strongly suspect there would be like a PG cut, you know, whether that's like on DVD or streaming or whatever, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. And if it is PG, like maybe we'll have a resurgence of, you know, PG films, you know, the PG-sance.
the PG Sans, which I think would be great, actually, on a side note, because now if you look at your local theater's listings, you're real lucky if there's like one movie you can take your kid to, but there's never more than one at a time. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's kind of like, it kind of seems to be like a market that's kind of undersold, like all ages. Like, is it like four quadrant films, you know, like that everyone gets behind, like to bring Robin Hood into it again, The Adventures of Robin Hood. Like it's a film like that I think like is popular with all ages, you know, and because sometimes like some of the children's films that come out, like adults are like, we could go to the park instead, and the kid's like, I want to see that one, and it's like, we could literally do anything else besides go to that movie, but, you know, yeah, if it's kind of like something like the whole family wants to see, I'm good with that, and honestly, like, the reason I really wanted to cover this is because I was like, oh, like, a beloved video game series is getting a movie adaptation, and, like, we've kind of talked about, like, Star Wars and KOTOR and, like, what KOTOR could be like as a trilogy. And I was like, oh, it'd be so fun to cover that. And, like, honestly, like, most movie news doesn't excite me anymore. I think Oppenheimer was the last movie I got excited about when I heard it was released. Or when it was announced, I mean. And kind of right now, like, I can always be tentative but excited, you know? We just live in a weird era of filmmaking. But right now, I think I trust Nintendo more than the MCU and Lucasfilm. And that's kind of what I think.
Okay. That's fair. I think Nintendo's done, I guess, two movies. They did this Super Mario Brothers movie this last year, which did really well, and they did a Super Mario Brothers film back in the. In the like the early 90s, I think, or 1989, something like that, which did not do very well. So they're batting 50% right now. So that's a lot of faith you have there, Cassia. But I think that it's probably going to be okay. So let's go ahead and jump into our hopes and fears here for this. Now, Al, you've been a bit more reserved on your speculation and hopes. Cassia is all in on it, I guess, for one and done on Nintendo here. So what do you think? What are your hopes? What are your fears? What do you what do you think we might see? What do you got, Al?
Okay, so fears, obviously, it's not just Nintendo that has some bad video game movies, but video game movies in general aren't always the best. I mean, I think that you can definitely blame one director in particular, Uwe Boll. He was a German film director who was specifically making tax write-off type movies for German citizens. He made a bunch of them, and there's a lot that are really not good. It was real. If you guys have ever seen The Producers, the musical, it was basically that type of a scam where he was just trying to make these movies. So there's a lot of bad video game movies. I think that Nintendo has kind of figured out a little bit more about what they want to do, and that's why they were so tentative to ever make another movie until this one. So I feel like it shows that they have a lot more they've got a lot more sway with the studios, as well as being able to like kind of control stuff. They don't need to make this be a cash cow or something. They can tell the story that they want to. So my only fear is just, okay, if somebody who isn't used to making video game adaptations is somehow on this and doesn't have some of that reverence for it. I do also think that going live action is maybe the wrong route for it. I think that there's a lot of cartooniness to the world of Zelda. It's very stylized in its own certain way. And I think that some of it is going to look very cheapened if they, by being live action. The Master Sword is like a big purpley silver sword. His outfit is green. He's got this like iconic shield that looks kind of plasticky. I'm nervous about some of that stuff. I think though, I'm leading into hopes now, is that if they lean into some of that cartoony nature of the world, it could end up making it not look so out of place, but they could just make everything kind of that same style, have go kind of maybe more the Guillermo del Toro route, where you have people in legitimate good costumes that are like going to recreate all the different types of things. And I think that that could really sell it. Or maybe go like the Labyrinth route, not necessarily Muppets, but something, you know, you can sell it a little bit more down that path. And that way Gorons and Rito and all the different types of creature humanoid characters will still seem believable in that world. So I'm kind of hoping that they go for more practical effects and costumes rather than like CGI. And I think that that would like make some of this stuff sell a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say, right? Because I'd mentioned it before, but basically The Legend of Zelda was basically sort of thought up of, you know, as being like this child's adventure. Kind of thing. I think that was kind of what Miyamoto had based it on when they first were coming up with the series. So a lot of it is kind of childlike, and you know, there's 19 entries in this, and there are a ton of different art styles and things, going from the super kind of washed out cartooniness of like the Wind Waker to the newer Breath of the Wild Tears of the Kingdom, which is a little bit more kind of realistic looking, a little bit more anime kind of inspired, I think, in the way that those look. So on one hand, I am kind of surprised that it is not going to be an animated thing. The problem with that though versus Super Mario Brothers is Super Mario Brothers is, well, I guess they're both animated and that they're video games, but Super Mario Brothers is hard to not exist as a cartoon, whereas these are, you know, real like actual life-size sort of people, I guess, in that sense. So it makes more sense to have it as a live-action kind of a thing. I do have a couple of concerns, though. And one is I don't know how they're... if they'll be able to capture the magic of, like, the puzzle element of Legend of Zelda, how important that is, or how important it is to audiences. That's a very big part of the video games, are, you know, kind of doing these dungeons and figuring out the puzzle elements to that, how that's going to play exactly. My other concern I have is that this isn't our first shot at a Legend of Zelda movie or show. Both of you are probably too young to remember this, but back in the day, there was the Super Mario Super Show, which came on. It was a live-action Super Mario show, but in 13 of these episodes, there was a little animated Legend of Zelda segment, like 12, 13 minutes there. And this came out in 1989, so it was a long time ago. You can find these on YouTube. There are some VHS and DVD releases over the years, and it's real bad. It is real bad. It spawned kind of that internet meme, the, well, excuse me, princess, which Link is using as his catchphrase, and he says that 29 times through the 13 episodes that exist, which is really kind of amazing and kind of awful at the same time. So my fear is that we're going to get another one of these.
Well, excuse me, princess.
No, I don't really fear that that's the case, but everyone should go search that out, because it's pretty wild to take a step back and see
so
what
it's
passed
well...
for.
Excuse to see me, what, princess?
To see what passed for, you know, Cassia's good faith in Nintendo here in the past. But no, I'm just kidding. I think that they're going to do just fine with it. So I don't really have a ton of fears. This is a world that I like and enjoy the video game aspect of it. And, you know, whether this movie captures that or not, it doesn't really change the way the video games are. So I just hope that it's good, and I think Nintendo will put a lot of time into making sure that they don't fall on their face again, which is why it took from 1993, when that first Super Mario Brothers film to come out, which has a 29% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, to all the way you know, just this year, 2023, for the Super Mario Brothers animated film that we got. So they've spent a lot of time thinking about how to do this right, and I think that they will.
I totally thought, well, excuse me, princess, was something that Han Solo said. But yeah, I'm looking up the meme, and that's something they did. I guess the reason... Yeah. I have faith, but I'm okay if that faith is crushed because it's not like my KOTOR, you know? It's a world I like, but maybe like when I'm not familiar with enough to like love it, you know? So maybe like in the lead up to the movie, I'll be like, I am now a Legend of Zelda person. And then it comes out and then I'm like, my faith is crushed. Like, this is not a reward. It's a punishment. Maybe that will happen, you know? But I don't know. Like, what happens if it's well-received and makes a lot of money?
Well, the good news is that Nintendo has shown that there are no limits to how they can bend the timeline to keep telling Legend of Zelda stories. So if it's well-received and it makes a lot of money, then I would expect for that to continue with the film
like
franchise then as well. It could be like James Bond, yeah, for sure. I wouldn't be surprised if they have some sort of feeling about that from the start and, you know, set it up to be, you know, some sort of two-part thing or trilogy kind of thing where they can tell kind of a longer story. That wouldn't surprise me really in the least, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they wouldn't be doing it now unless I felt like they were doing it right, and, you know, maybe it ends up being a mistake, but maybe it's a mistake that they made or would make, and they tried, you know? And if it is well received, like, that's great. And it would be kind of cool to see if, like, possibly there's more video game adaptations, not necessarily just Nintendo, and maybe not everything has to be a TV series, and, yeah, like, I'm in love with movies. Sometimes there are some really good, streaming series, like, you recommended to me, A Small Light, and I loved it, and that story, I don't think, could have been told as well in a movie. But I think I just love movies more, so I guess that's where I stand, even though I am sitting down.
Well, there you go. All right, let's see, Al, do you have any final thoughts here about The Legend of Zelda, either about the games, about this potential movie, or just about anything else that comes to mind here?
You know, I think they have a really great wealth of music from all of the Zelda games.
True.
They have like a score just like already kind of built in there. I do hope that they go with, you know, maybe some of the more subtleties of that score, kind of like in Breath of the Wild. I think that that could really sell some of the aspects. I just hope, I do hope that the script is pretty good. I know that Link is typically, you know, a silent protagonist. I do hope that kind of like with the Mario movie, they make him talk. Like, I think that it would be a much stranger movie if he never talks throughout it or has such minimal lines. It might make him seem a little bit more, I don't know, RoboCop or something if he's just like barely talking. And you know, if they wanted to go special effects wise towards RoboCop, that would be kind of cool. You know, there's a lot to really love about Zelda. I mean, obviously, the newest Zelda game has sold 19 million copies already, which is unheard of. You know, not very many games hit over probably the 5 million mark, and this game has only been out for 6-7 months-ish, and it's sold gangbusters. There's a lot of love for it, and I think it will be good. I think Nintendo, especially having Shigeru Miyamoto, the creator of it, who it's kind of based around, you know, some of the exploration he did as a kid, I think he has a great vision. There's going to be a lot to be happy with on this.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that he served as one of the producers for the Mario movie as well. And you bring up a good point about the soundtrack. Yeah, there's been a lot of great music over these 19 entries, and that was one of my favorite parts about the Super Mario Brothers movie, was that symphonic score, getting all of the Mario themes, and you know, like a full blown out symphony. Was pretty incredible. So I think that there's a lot of great wealth there as well. And yeah, I think it's going to be entertaining, I think. You have to wait and see. There are people that are real into Zelda, and they're going to be the ones that are the most vocal about how good it does, I guess. But I'm pretty excited about this, and it's a world that's fun and, you know, entertaining and engrossing, and it really sucks you in. Like I mentioned, I played Breath of the Wild, I think, for well over 100 hours, and I know that's just kind of a drop in the bucket compared to how many hours some people have spent in it.
Yeah.
And then Tears of the Kingdom, you mentioned the sales. It actually just was released. They released the nominations for Game of the Year for the Video Game Awards, and Tears of the Kingdom is one of the 6 nominees for Video Game of the Year. So
as it absolutely that's pretty should good. Be. Yeah.
As yeah, absolutely. So definitely some good stuff there and some good stuff to draw on. So hopefully we end up getting a good video game there, or a good video game adaptation. And Sony's done this a couple of times now, right? They did Uncharted, they're going to be doing the new Borderlands, they just did the Last of Us adaptation on HBO. I think they played a part in that, probably with Naughty Dog.
We've got some other ones. Horizon is coming out. Horizon Zero Dawn is going to be developed by Netflix. And Amazon is doing a God of War series.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go. Cassie, do you have any final thoughts here about Legend of Zelda before we let everyone know where they can find what Al's got going on?
So I don't know much about The Legend of Zelda, so if I if you felt like I disrespected anything in the lore or in the characters, it was not intended. I just am not as familiar with it, so I'm still learning.
Well, there you go. There's a lot to learn about, for sure. But that's okay. That's okay. Everyone has an entry into the Legend of Zelda world out there, for sure. And, you know, everyone's kind of experience with that is different. There's been 19 of these over the last, I don't know, a long time. Like 40 years almost worth of Zelda stories here. So, yeah, let us know out there what your favorite entry in the Legend of Zelda video game catalog is, and let us know what you think about the movie. Al, thank you so much for coming on today and talking, you know, Link and Zelda and Ganon and Triforces and all the stuff.
Yeah, thank you so much. If anybody else wants to find me, look for me on some other podcasts. You can check out The Movies That Move Us. It's a podcast that I host with my friend Quince Van Orden, where we interview our guests about a movie that has particularly moved them, maybe even helped them get into the movie industry or otherwise. We've had a wealth of guests. We had an episode go up about a month ago about the Billy Wilder movie, The Apartment. It was a really great episode, and we've got a couple more that are just on the editing room floor going to be put out. And then we have another podcast. Both myself and Quince, and a third friend, his name is Bryce, and that will be our Cinema Buns, Cinema Bums, so it kind of sounds like cinnamon buns, but it's
nice.
It's our going to be our monthly podcast where we kind of do like a book club, but for movies, where we all put in a movie ourselves. So there's 3 movies in total, and we watch them and discuss them. And so we've got several episodes already ready to go. We just need to hit the release button. So yeah, we introduce our movies at the end of each episode so that everybody else will be able to follow along once those are released.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely go check those out. I think Cassio was a guest on your Movies That Move Us podcast. So definitely go make sure you check that out. We'll put a link to what Al's got going on down in the show notes.
And we need to get you on there sometime, Brian.
Yeah,
there you go. Absolutely, I'd love to absolutely. Listen. Yeah, so we'll have to get something on the books there for that for sure. We'll put a link to the article, to the IGN article we were kind of referencing at the beginning of that here. And thank you so much, everyone, for joining us and talking a little bit of Legend of Zelda today. Something new, but something all the more inspiring. And like I said, Amnesiac Link, that's basically Revan.
Totally. I guess you could say, may the Triforce be with you.
Ooh,
always.
Good one.
The Older Public Podcast can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, as well as everywhere else that Anchor Podcasts are distributed. Subscriptions, reviews, and shares help us out.
And if you want to connect with the podcast on Twitter, we can be found at Old Republic Pod. And if you want to connect with me, I can be found on Instagram at Astro_Droid_.
You can find us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Old Republic Podcast. Our intro and outro themes were composed by Dennis S. Mowers at DennisSMowersMusic.com.
This episode of the Old Republic Podcast has been brought to you by Nikki Dog from Patreon. May the Force be with you. We will be back soon. Bye for now.